Pearl Clegg's first novel, What Looks Like Crazy on an Ordinary Day, appeared on the New York Times bestseller list for 9 weeks in 1998 and was an Oprah Book Club selection. Now the Massachusetts-born, Detroit-bred playwright, poet, and essayist has drawn on her life experience to create her latest novel. Clegg's latest book is called Babylon Sisters. It centers on a mother and daughter who are both making the best of their life and love.
The last thing you need in the throes of first heartbreak, when you're still not sure you'll survive it, is to hear the absolute, unvarnished truth spoken for the second time by your mother, who first uttered the words when you brought the young, betraying fool home and confessed, "Oh, Mama, I think he's the one." He was never the one.
The words and voice of novelist and playwright Pearl Clegg, one of the preeminent authors of African-American women's literature. Ms. Clegg says she owes her standing to a pioneer of the genre.
I think that we are, all of us black women who are writing novels now, are really Terry McMillan's children, because I think that her book, Waiting to Exhale, which certainly generated a lot of debate and a lot of discussion, really opened up a huge space for African-American women novelists. And I know that I am moving around in that space that her work created, which is really wonderful, because what we can do is to raise these issues with our readers, to talk about the fullness of our lives. The problem that I see is when we try to constrict that form and we only make it about romance. We only make these women talk about their boyfriends and who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. And what I'm always trying to do with my books is to say, let's look at the fullness of our lives. Certainly we want to fall in love. Certainly we talk about the romantic relationships in our lives. But most of us also have work that's important to us. Many of us are also raising children. Many of us are also taking active roles in the transformation and reclamation of our communities and neighborhoods and cities and towns. So I'm always trying to make sure that when I have a love story at the heart of the book, that the love story takes place within the context of the real world, that these women are not walking down the beach in their beautiful clothes with the wind blowing through their hair. They're figuring out how to fall in love in the middle of African America.
Let's talk about the latest project, Pearl, and that's Babylon Sisters. Give us a thumbnail of the book.
Well, it's a book about a mother and a daughter. The mother has been keeping a secret from her daughter for about 17 years, thinking that it was kinder to keep the secret than to tell the truth. And she discovers over the course of the book that it's always better to tell the truth. It's also a story about a woman, the main character, who is working with international people, with people who have just come to Atlanta, which is where the story takes place, and are trying to make a new life in a new place.
It's interesting. I read once where you said that in almost all of your works, the biggest crime people commit is that they lie to each other. Do you see that as a fundamental problem as we go through life?
I really do. I think that people convince themselves that telling somebody a lie is often the easier thing. It's often the kinder thing. And especially in families, a lot of what I'm dealing with is family dynamics. And oftentimes I think we convince ourselves that if we keep these things that we think are such terrible secrets from our families, it's better for the family. And it's a much wiser course of action to just go on and tell the truth at the beginning and then try to work it out in whatever is best for both people involved.
We have for years heard, what a tangled web we weave.
Exactly.
Is that the truth in this book as well, as we get deeper into it?
It really is, because the mother has gone to this elaborate subterfuge to try to make the daughter think that the lie is the truth. And as the daughter gets older, she realizes that this can't possibly be the truth. So all of these things that the mother has set up to try to keep her daughter from the truth really come back around in a way that the mother finally has to just say, look, let me just tell you what's really going on.
Atlanta has been a place for you personally for some time, a home. I'm wondering why you decided to utilize Atlanta for the book.
Well, I've always wanted to write a book set in Atlanta. My first two novels were set in Idyllwild, Michigan, which is a small town, because I was moving from playwriting, which is my major form, to fiction, and I was a little nervous about taking on a city the size of Atlanta. So I set my first two books in Idyllwild, which was a lot smaller, and I felt like I could really get my mind around it. But Atlanta is a place that, for me, presents all of the challenges, all of the possibilities, all of the problems that we have, and all of the good things that we have, so that it really gives me, as a writer, everything to work with, which is why I've set my last two books there.
Pearl, I'm wondering, it's interesting to note that you grew up in Detroit. You live in Atlanta, as you mentioned, for the last 30 years. Those are two cities that really have such a huge black base, and to a great degree, when you grow up being from Detroit, I know this, grow up in a city that really is controlled to a great degree by African Americans. It gives you a sense of power and understanding and importance of African Americans that in many cities you don't necessarily see. Did you find that to be the case?
I think that's absolutely true. And part of what I think is interesting for me is that since I've always lived in predominantly black environments, I see the complete picture of us. Sometimes when we start writing fiction, we make all the good guys are African Americans, all the bad guys are white Americans. As a writer, it kind of makes a small space for us to work in. But since I've always lived in all black environments, I know that we can be wonderful and noble, and we can also be the bad guys. So that in my books, I try to avoid that cliche where we say, okay, let's introduce the evil white male. He's going to be the villain. In my books, the villains are us. The good guys are us. The heroes, the sheroes, everybody takes place within the African-American context, which makes it much more difficult for readers to kind of put these characters in a slot. In the last two of my books, the person who is the villain in the book, they're both black women, so that we have to really rethink our idea of sisterhood and what does that mean, and can we always depend on each other to be good people, because I think we are as complex and complicated as any other group of people, and we've got the full range of human beings.
You truly are what in baseball is known as a utility ball player, one who can do a number of things. You mentioned you write plays and novels and essays and the like. Do you have a favorite?
I don't really have a favorite. I tend to really want to work in many different forms. I love theater, but I know many people do not go to the theater, so that a lot more people are encountering my fiction because many more of us read novels. I love to write essays because then I can write in my own voice and I can fuss at whoever I'm angry at without trying to create a character about that. So it really, I think, is an advantage to me because I can work in so many different forms that I encounter.
Finally, let me ask you, how much do you take into consideration your daughter and granddaughter when you write images of African American women and shape the characters, and knowing that unfortunately all too often today many of the images we see of African American women are either sexual or many say demeaning?
Well, I try to write about women like the women that I know. I don't know any women like the women that I see in many of the videos that I find objectionable. So that what I'm always trying to do for myself, for my daughter, for my granddaughter, is to write about real women who are encountering real problems, who are encountering real joy, who are actually going through a journey through the course of the book that is similar to the journeys that people go through in their real lives. And I think that as readers, I think we recognize that when we come upon a character who is a real person, who is a person who is really trying to do those same things that we're trying to do when we get up every day. We embrace them, we want to know what they're going to do, and we'll go and buy the book to read about what they're doing.
Well, Pearl, thank you so much. It's the fourth novel, and it's called Babylon Sisters, and it is, as always, I am sure, for many who pick it up, a most enjoyable read, and we thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Pearl Clegg is a playwright and author. Her latest novel is Babylon Sisters. To hear Ms. Clegg reading from her novel, log on to npr.org.